You're listening to an audio sermon from Hope Bible Church Kelowna. For more information about our church, please visit hopekelowna.ca.
Good morning. Well, some people said it. Only as a preacher does nobody say good morning when you say good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Hey, that's great. Welcome to Hope Bible Church. If you're new with us this morning, one of our things that we do is we give out Bibles. So if you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, or you came this morning and your Bible app on your phone has died and you want a Bible, like an actual physical Bible, I'd encourage you to take one of those. The main passages we're going to be looking at in the book of James, chapter 1, we're not going to have them up on the screen because we want you to actually look for yourself to get into the Bible on your own. So church is more about getting something, kind of being in community and doing that. We want to hear from God this morning and want you to expectantly read from the Word of God. So that's why we do that. My name is Glenn, and I have the privilege of being on the preaching team here at Hope. Today, my job, like kind of when I'm not here, my day job is I work as the executive director of Bridges to New Life Society. And thank you. Some of you actually came to our annual kind of fundraiser, and we had like a concert and stuff. So thanks to those that came and supported us in that. Excited to kind of share my work a little bit with people, the ministry that I get to be a part of. We have these amazing group of men that, they're just trying to get their feet back after them. They've been impacted by the criminal justice system in different ways, and we offer them new life. A new life both away from crime, going back into where they ended up, and we get the privilege of sharing what it means to have a new life in Jesus. We offer new life to those impacted by crime. That's what I do kind of in my day job, which is amazing. It's kind of like ministry, like a local ministry here in Kelowna. In fact, the song that we sang, I'll Fly Away, All Glory, I go into the prisons, and if we ask people like to recommend a song, that's the song that they ask for. It's like, the prison gates will fly open and I'll fly away. Like, yeah, so anyways, I just found that was interesting. I didn't think about that as I was preparing, but yeah. I've been coming to Hope Bible Church for almost 3 years, and most people, I was kind of off and on, kind of because I go to other churches and speak and things like that, so most people actually knew my wife well before they knew me. Well, at least they know her laugh. Yeah, there she is again in the back, yeah. If you don't like her laugh, too bad. We're here to stay. Anyways, I have 4 kids, and sometimes people hear I have 4 kids, and they think I'm good at parenting. That would be like assuming people with lots of cats are not crazy. But I do recognize for many of you, just getting here was a win because, you know, that's us some weeks too. It might be your first time here at Hope Bible Church, and we want to welcome you. And maybe it's just a win for you just getting here. I know we all come with different stories, different things that have happened to us or are happening in our lives. And, we just want to welcome you. And those that are online, welcome for joining us. I know it's hard to get out of your pajamas some days. Or maybe you just push the snooze button too many times. Maybe you're watching after the fact. But we just want to welcome everybody who's participating with us in this sermon. You know, at times, as a parent, I feel like I have no idea what I'm doing. So, you know, as a good person, my wife and I, we go to counseling, where I realize she was right all along. My wife being, you know, the one that has told me this thing, and we go and whatever, just like, you know, it's one of those things that happens to me. I'm like, okay, my wife and I, we try to figure out life. We have great kids, and yes, again, thanks to my wife. A few weeks ago, my wife said to me, when you come home sometimes, you kind of create chaos. Did you know that? I'm like, okay. I come home hangry. If those of you don't know what that is, it's hungry and easily angered. I don't know what's been going on at home. And so this last week in preparation for this, I tried really hard to come home and kind of listen instead of saying to the kids, like, who hasn't done the chores? Set the table. Let's get going here. Let's whatever, you know, or get off. Why are you on your phone or on your screen? Why are you doing this? You know, and try to really work hard at being available and listening instead of just kind of jumping right in. I'm not sure how you're going to find this passage, but for me, it's been a good study and a reminder of how I need to continually be actively listening to the Word of God, reminded of how my behavior needs to be refined and adjusted. Today, we're continuing along our series in the book of James entitled Faith That Works. I love the book of James, and actually, when I was younger, I was a youth pastor previously. I actually listened to the book of James on CD. You guys remember those? And I would put it in my car, and I just had James on repeat. I was trying to memorize it because a guy at Bible college had memorized the whole book of James, and I tried, and guess what? I still don't have it memorized. But I tried. You know, I was trying to understand it. In fact, recently we've been watching old movies, and I love, like, because it's like watching for the first time, because my memory's not so good. I'm like, oh, I don't even remember any of these scenes in there. Which is why I think today we need to be reminded of the Word of God. That as we open the Word of God, maybe you've read James lots of times, but maybe this is your first time reading the book of James. But I think we need to be reminded of what the Bible has to say. I trust for some who have read or studied James, this will be a good reminder for you. Turns out, as we were looking through the book of James, and there's a few of us that are going to be speaking through the book of James, I kind of won the lottery today. If you want to summarize the whole book of James, there's actually one verse that some commentators would say is the kind of thrux, like kind of the main verse in the book of in the whole book of James. So if you get bored, I challenge you to go see if you can find it. So challenge given. And if you find it, you can underline your Bibles. And then later on, I'll encourage you to underline it when we get there. So if you're kind of looking through the passage, you can kind of see if you can figure out which verse it is. There are a few questions that I want to do just to kind of get you thinking about the book of James and what we're going to be talking about today. Just kind of track with you and kind of open up your minds to kind of the discussion we're going to be having. So my first question, which I already talked about, is do you have a good memory? I know some people really do. Do you read your Bible? Maybe that's not part of your things that you do normally. Maybe you're new to the faith, or that's not something you do regularly. But if you do read the Bible, have you seen any changes in your life as a result of your reading the Bible? Have you ever done something not expecting a reward or acknowledgement? What is your motivation for serving? How quickly do you speak versus listen? Are you easily angered, or do you, like me, get hangry easily? When is the last time you didn't say what you wanted to? That you held your tongue? What kind of people do you gravitate towards? And what does purity mean to you? Today, at the heart of it, we're going to answer this really important question. If you're a note taker and you got your notes out, this is the question I would encourage you to write down. How can we demonstrate actively listening to what God is telling us? Or another way of saying that question is, how can we know our relationship with God is changing us, is moving us forward, is making a difference in our life? So if you've got a Bible, let's turn to James chapter 1. If you picked up one of the Bibles from the ushers, I pulled it out. It's on page 1113, if you're trying to track that down. So James chapter 1. We're going to answer the question by looking at five behaviors produced from actively listening to God's word. I'll give you a quick little outline of today's sermon, in just case you're wondering how it's all going to roll out. I kind of like that because I'm like, okay, what's happening? Where are we going? The first four behaviors we're going to address are going to be kind of quickly, and then the fifth behavior we're going to dig in a little bit deeper, so just so you have an idea of what the outline is for today. So before we jump in there, as we talk about five behaviors produced to active listening to God's word, I wanted to ask the question, what is an active listener? When you think about what an active listener is, what would be kind of something like a characteristic of an active listener? Any ideas? I know we don't normally like throw out stuff, but you know, ideas, active listening? Anybody? They ask questions. Yeah, they're like, they engage with the conversation. Anybody else? And they're like, so they're eye contact, exactly. So an active listener, they listen first, right? They listen, and then they seek to understand. They like have eye contact, they respond, they reflect, and then they retain it for later. So that's what an active listener is. Someone who listens, who understands, responds, reflects, and then retains for later. So James 1, verse 19 is where we're going to pick up this morning. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak. So this is the first behavior produced from actively listening to God's word. People become slow to speak. So like I said, when I get home from work, I tend to jump right in talking. I notice that though when I'm in the right headspace, when I'm trusting God and trusting my wife, I come home with a different way, a different heart. I come home from work each day and do a little check-in with my kids, check-in with my life, my wife, listen first. I differently approach life at home when I'm intentional about that, when I'm slow to speak. You know, because I'm so quick to talk back. I'm so quick to like defend myself even if somebody says something that's not right. Even at times, maybe I even talk back to God. You know, a continual talker cannot hear what anyone else is saying. If we're always talking, how can we hear God? What if in other ways in life, you're maybe quick to listen instead of talk? What about if when you get to work, you check in with your boss? If you're the boss, you check in with employees and see how their day's going, how things are going. If you're a high school student, you check in with some of your friends. Hey, how was your evening? What's going on? And just listening first instead of speaking first. What if we approached prayer this way? What if we went to God in silence first instead of our list of things we wanted to talk to him about? And listen to what God wants to say to us first. You know, the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. And it's this idea, the hallowed, the like, oh, we want to honor you. That starting of like listening instead of jumping right in. This could actually help us with the second behavior. James 1, verse 19, kind of at the end, says this. Slow to speak and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. This is our second behavior we find in this passage, of those who actively listen to God. People are slow to become angry. You know, I do have to say, there is kind of a place and time for anger. And I was thinking about that, I'm like, okay, slow to become angry. But it doesn't say don't ever become angry. Ephesians 4, verse 25 to 27, or 26 to 27 says this. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. There are times we will get angry, and it should take time before we get angry. So be slow, and if we are angry, is it because of an event or a situation? Or is it because of something God hates? Therefore, if it's not for the right reasons, it actually, this passage says it gives opportunity for the devil. It doesn't produce righteousness. In the verse that we're looking at. So verse 25, it says, it gives opportunity for the devil. And then this passage, it says, it doesn't produce righteousness. So our anger, we have to be really cautious with that idea. This passage is more leaning towards the way God is described in Psalm and Song of Solomon's. This idea of slow to speak, slow to anger, right? For the anger does not produce the righteousness of God. The song that popped into my mind is from Psalm 145, verse 8. It says this, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and rich in love. We are to do the same, to be slow to anger. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. If we want to be righteous, then we need to be very, very cautious with anger. Which again begs the question, what is righteousness? We've been talking about anger and not producing righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? I think righteousness is taking a stand and doing the right thing. Jesus was the ultimate example of doing the right thing. When I work with the guys that are coming out of jail and they're trying to get their life on track, they sometimes kind of get ahead of themselves. And I'm like, you know what, guys, just do the next right thing. Do the next right thing for today. Tomorrow, the Bible says, has enough troubles of its own. Just do the next right thing today. A whole bunch of right steps equal going in the right direction. Ironically, when we go in the right direction, it draws other people in the right direction also. I was trying to think of it this morning. I was chatting with my wife, and there was a race that happened here in Kelowna a little while ago. And some guy was in the wrong spot. So these people are doing it was either half or full marathon. And the one guy was in the wrong spot. And so everybody actually went the wrong direction, went way out of their way. And you think it's not a big deal, but if you're in a long race, if you go out of your way and then have to come back, it's a big deal, right? And it was just because one person had not been in the right place, and then other people were just following each other. Going the wrong direction. Till finally somebody showed up and got the rest of the group to go the right direction. Being like, oh, why everybody went over there? Why'd they? Oh, because there's a corner and everybody went, instead of going straight, they were supposed to turn, right? And that happens. Which that idea of hey, we need to bring other people along us in the right direction. If you see somebody, a brother or sister, going the wrong direction, moving away from what it means to be righteous, pull them back. You know, the Bible says somebody who saves somebody from sin gets a reward. So it's let's pull others back into the right direction. Which brings us kind of to the third behavior, produced from actively listening to God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. People remove the evil from their lives. People remove the wrong direction and actually start going the right direction. Whenever we read the word therefore, we always just kind of have to think about what it's there for. So this verse starts with that. So because we are slow to speak and slow to become angry, quick speaking and quick to anger does not produce righteousness. Then we're to put away filthiness and rampant wickedness. That's what it's there for. So put another way, in our other translations, say, get rid of it, move it away, move it off. It's actually this idea of taking off a garment. I don't know if any of you guys noticed, I put this on. It's a little bit dirty. Some of you are looking and noticing. Maybe you weren't or whatever. But it is actually the idea of taking off a garment. Put off, put away, move it away. If it's filthy, if it's dirty, it's like throw it away. You have to get that stuff out of your life. Move it, remove it any way you can. That's what it means to remove the filthiness in our lives. Hebrews 12:1, speaking of throwing off any excess weight in preparation for accepting the word, which actually brings us to the fourth behavior produced from actively listening to God. Verse 21, in the middle, it says this, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The fourth behavior is people have humility. Same as Hebrews 12:1 speaks of throwing off any excess weight in preparation for accepting the word. Receive the word of God starts with a humility or meekness. Why do we reference the living word? Well, Jesus is the living word. He's implanted on us as we follow him. When we listen to the word of God, we become humble. I heard this quote. It says, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. Reminds me of our last series in Ecclesiastes. The pursuit of knowledge is meaningless. It's actually about pursuing God, knowing God, and God giving us meaning. We need to receive the word of God humbly. Meekness is power under control. Think of a person on top of a horse. The horse could literally buck them off, could kill them, could trample them to death. But we put a bridle in the mouth of a horse, and you can turn this giant animal. Meekness is power under control. By the power of Jesus, we can have humility. The gospel can save us, can change us, can move our lives in different directions. The next part of the passage there talks about planted in you. It means people already had the truth. So in here, this passage is talking about planting here. So it's people, it's talking to followers of Christ. Then it says, which can save you. Truth as saving truth. Full and intelligent, or full and taking action for our use. The truth of a follower of Jesus and growing in spiritual understanding. Which brings us to our fifth point. We're going to get into a little bit more. And then the first kind of four behaviors. Verse 22 says this. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Some other translations of the Bible, I kind of looked at a few other ones. It says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's the NIV. That's one that I would kind of be more familiar with. The NESB says this, but prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely listeners who delude themselves. I love that word. We delude ourselves when we don't do what the word says. The New Living Translation says, and remember, it is a message to obey, not just to listen to. If you don't obey, you're only fooling yourself. So this is the verse, in case you're wondering. It's the verse I won the lottery on. This is the one that summarizes the whole book of James. It's active. It's like to listen and to do, to obey, to not just say something, but actually actively get involved and do it. Our series in James is entitled Faith That Works. And this is the passage that says, faith that works. Get out there and make it happen. Because those who congratulate themselves for merely hearing the word, for showing up to church on a Sunday morning and saying, oh, I did my good deed for the work, God. If you think that's all you need to do, you are sadly mistaken. If you think listening to the word of God or listening to a sermon is all God requires for some sort of special favor with God, I'll do this for you, God, and then you better do something for me, you have faulty reasoning. In fact, if you've heard the scripture, you are without excuse. Even if you haven't heard the scripture, Romans 1 verse 20 says, for God's invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made. So people, so men and women are without excuse. So number 5, verse 22, 27, this whole thing, it says, people become doers of the word. That's how I summarize that idea. But then it begs the question for me, how do we become doers of the word? Well, James goes on to tell us in this rest of this passage. First of all, by remembering what the Bible says. Verse 23. For anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently into his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and forgets what he looks like. You know, I was reading this, I was thinking to myself, you know, if this was like, the story went like this. So there's this woman who looked intently into the mirror and once away forgot what she looked like. It'd be like, oh, the illustration kind of might break down a little bit. Because I think most women actually remember, but us as guys, we look in the mirror and we kind of forget, right? I like went and looked and found myself a mirror just to kind of check and see what I look like. But this is what I do. You know, in the morning, I'll get my mirror out and like look and do stuff. And one of the things my dad taught me when I was younger is if you're shaving, I don't know if you guys have heard this trick or not, and you like kind of nick yourself, like get like a little cut or something like that. If you like kind of put toilet paper on your face, the blood will kind of go on there, and then it'll like, when you take the toilet paper off, it won't really leave any mark. Like you won't be able to see that there was just a small little cut, right, and stuff. And so I can't even tell you how many times I've come out of, the bathroom or whatever, and Deanna's like, you have toilet paper on your face. I'm like, oh, sorry. Okay, I got it. Sorry about it. Or whatever. Or I come out and she's like, I don't know, why did God do this to us as we get older? But, you know, you have like a random like eyebrow hair that sticks straight out. And she's like, you have like a weird eyebrow. I'm like, okay, didn't look like, I didn't even notice that when I looked in, because I'm like not really looking. I'm just kind of like looking at the mirror and almost forgetting what I look like right away. So us as men, we are guilty of this. This is what we do. We kind of don't, and a good thing we have our wives to help us. We don't look weird when we got, you know, like a weird ear hair sticking out or something like that, right? Good thing my wife is there to help me out so I don't walk out with stuff on my face, get to work, and I got, but you know what I mean? Like that's what can happen to us, right? We can end up forgetting what we look like just because we're not paying attention. God might say because for men, because you don't notice. That's why he allows that stuff to be there. So we become doers of the word by remembering what the Bible says. Then we know what God expects us to do. Any failure to respond cannot be blamed on a lack of understanding. Listening to the truth is not an end in of itself, any more than looking in a mirror and forgetting what we look like is the end of itself. The purpose of looking at the mirror, the purpose of listening to the truth, reading the truth, is to act upon it. Theoretical knowledge of spiritual truth is never applauded in the Bible. We gain knowledge through experience, and it helps us with every other experience. So we remove these things. We become listeners to the word. We act on the things. And the second part is found in verse 25. Verse 25 says, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres. So perseverance, right? That's the second part of this thing, is looking intently into the law and persevering. So next we become doers of the word by persevering in action. And perseveres. Remember the active imperative? I don't know if you guys remember a few weeks ago, we were talking about this thing in James 1, verse 5, this active imperative. It says, and if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, right? So, but ask is an active imperative, so you have to keep asking and asking and asking. Asking is not a once and done, but keep asking for wisdom. The same idea here, the person who perseveres in action, the person who keeps looking into the perfect law and perseveres in looking into the perfect word, and then not forgetting what you're reading, but actually doing it. Just do it is kind of this idea. Just make it happen. Romans 8, verse 37, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors for him who loved us. So the idea in that passage in Romans of more than conquerors is the Greek word hypernikomen. So hypernike, or a supernike. Followers of Jesus are supposed to be supernikes. We are just to be super, just do it people. Just keep doing it. If you want a blessing, first look intently into the word of God, and then secondly, continue to do it. Psalm 1, meditate on God's word day and night. Continue to do it. And then third, don't forget what they've heard, but put the practice into, or put the truth into practice. So how do we become doers of the word? We remember what the Bible says, we persevere in action, and then we keep moving forward. Keep doing the right thing. Keep a tight rein in our tongues. Keep doing the right things. Verse 26 says this, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, and this person's religion is worthless. This kind of jumps back to the beginning of what we're talking about today. Quick to hear and slow to speak, or it leads to anger and unrighteousness. Too many times I have misrepresented God as his follower by saying something I should not have. Saying something to a colleague, to a friend, to my kids, to my spouse. And even sometimes I misrepresent God by the way that I talk about myself. My self-talk, when I look in the mirror and what I say about myself. Sometimes that misrepresents God too. Out of the overflow of your heart, the mouth speaks. We need to speak truth. Truth and life of Scripture. Truth and life of Scripture about ourselves, about other people. How many of you, when you saw me with the shirt, and if anybody noticed, they're like, you see that? Why is he wearing that sweater? That doesn't, you know what I mean? Like, we're so quick to judge, right? We're so quick to be like, well, why is he doing that? Doesn't quite make sense. You know, we're easy to do that. But you and I are created by the Most High God. And God doesn't make mistakes. Take a look around, because obviously beautiful is different. Not one of us is the same. Let's be cautious with what we say about others. Proverbs 8:2 says, a fool loves to talk, but not to listen or to understand. Maybe we need some time to think about what it'd be like to walk a mile in another man's shoes before we judge them. We need to learn and be reminded to keep a tight rein on our tongues. Verse 27 goes on, says this, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. So what is the significance of that? Well, you say, maybe they need a visit. I just have to visit orphans and widows, and that's what this passage means. Well, I was struggling kind of how to address this and kind of think this through, and I found a quote from Erwin Lutzer, and here's what he had to say. What James is saying is that if we are broken by the word of God and cleansed by the word of God, we will be able to visit people, number one, who can never repay us, and number two, who do not give us any significance at all. That's orphans and widows and their affliction. People who can never repay us and who don't give us any significance at all. You see, you and I, and some of you and I, at least I am programmed in such a way that I sometimes want to hang out with significant people. We get significance from important people. He may be the rich people or the famous people, or one time I met this person and we feel like that gives us significance. We gravitate to that. It's part of our maybe fallen nature that our hearts move that direction. But if we're broken by the word, we're actually become willing to minister to people in obscurity. Even if people never hear about it, because this is for God, we do this for God. I know there are some people in here who do this. It's hard, and yet we do this unto the Lord, and it matters. We minister out of just what God pours into our hearts. We minister to those people who other people would never even know about or hear about. If we're to be doers of the word, it affects our tongue. It affects our credibility in whom we help. For the idea of religion which is pure, I summarize this whole idea as helping people who cannot repay us. The last point today is this. I found this in verse 27, right at the very end. So religion is pure and defiled, is before the God of Fathers to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. So that's the idea of helping people who cannot repay us. And then lastly, and to keep oneself unstained from the world by staying pure. Purity means we've become slow to speak. We've learned to be slow to anger. We've learned to remove evil from our lives. We've learned humility. This is purity. Purity would have been common to them. It would have been a very common word for them because they worked hard to become ceremonial clean or pure. Purity is a state of heart where there is a complete devotion to God, the undivided heart where there is no conflict of loyalties, no division of interest, no mixture of motives, no hypocrisy, and no insecurity. By staying pure, by being involved, that's what this idea is. That's what wraps up this passage. So that's what we're trying to do here today. That's what we're trying to understand. We go back to the beginning question that I asked right at the beginning of today. I want to ask you again, how can we demonstrate active listening to what God is telling us? We have these five behaviors of actively listening to God's word, and that's how we do it. That's how we move forward. We spend time actively in the Word of God. I was, this week, just kind of think of how to kind of wrap up what I was chatting about today with you. And I was chatting with my wife this morning. We were talking about it. And I was reminded of a young man who was in my youth group. I was a youth pastor previously in Victoria. And he used to come. He was in my small group. We'd kind of divided all the kids up in different little small groups. And he was in my small group. And I would constantly be trying to invite him to come. And he would come once in a while if his friend came. And I would constantly be trying to, like, get him connected and engaged and involved. And finally, you know, he came to Camp Imadine. He had been a part of different camps. And he came and he was there. And still, all the way through high school, he kind of didn't really come to the youth group. He kind of intermittently came here and there and whatever. But he said to me, you know, I read my Bible. I'm like, oh, you do? He's like, yeah, no, I do. I read and I get involved and I kind of study a little bit and stuff. And his girlfriend was a Christian who lived up island. And the two of them would actually kind of talk about the Bible together and get involved with the Bible together and read the Bible together. And just as I was kind of leaving, he said, he's like, hey, Glenn, thanks for kind of introducing me to that. But I'm like, well, it wasn't me. It was you, man. Like, I didn't do anything. You barely even came to the youth group. You weren't involved and engaged. And actually, after I left and moved here, he would call me up and say, hey, I was reading in the Bible about this. What do you think? And he ended up digging in and learning. And he got baptized at my church back there. And I was able to watch it online and see him get baptized. And he continued to dig in. He got into a small group. He got connected. Just this week, he called me up. And I called him. And I was chatting with him. He's like, hey, Glenn, sometime it'd be fun to get together again and just kind of read the Bible and talk about it. I'm like, oh, that's super cool. Nothing to do with me. It was just him choosing to read the Word of God, choosing to get in the Word of God. And it changed his life. We need to be active listeners to the Word of God. It needs to change us. It needs to move us. It needs to transform us. So what does this mean for us? I think there is joy in obedience. When we serve others out of obedience to Christ in our homes, in our church, in our community, it actually produces joy. The behaviors we develop from listening to God will allow us to live out the gospel to our neighbors, to our community. James is going to illustrate worldliness in the very next chapter, so come next week to hear about it. But I love our church because of our diversity. We want Hope Bible Church to be as diverse as heaven. I'd like to invite the worship team to come back up.
And you can, bow your heads and close your eyes and just take a moment to reflect on this. And I'm actually just going to kind of do just a 30 seconds of silence just to kind of listen to God. So if you're here, I just want you to listen to what God has to say to you this morning. Just listen to God. The verse starts off, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." We want to see life change in people. "But I'm a sinner like each of you. And yet we bring with us the loving truth of Jesus because the word of God has transformed us. Sinners transformed by grace. If you don't yet know Jesus, we want to introduce you to him. We want to introduce you to the saving truth of Scripture. It will change your life because it's changed mine. God, we want to be changed by your word. We believe it is active and living. We believe that it can challenge, it can encourage. God, we want to hear from you through your word. I pray, God, this morning that if people are not reading their Bibles, they would start. They would make that. They would memorize. They would learn. They would know more of you. And like my friend from Victoria, that it would change them. It would transform them. It would lead them into deeper knowledge of you, a deeper relationship with you, because we desire to know you, Jesus. And we love you. Those who are here that are actively involved with your word, it's changing them. And sometimes, God, we find it hard to kind of see the slow change that happens from spending time in your word. But I know you're changing me. And I know there's people here that are being sanctified, that are changing, that are growing in their relationship with you. So God, remind us to be in your word, to know you. God, thank you for loving us. And God, as we move into communion here, God, I pray that you would, Holy Spirit, I invite you to convict people right now. That if there's something between you and them, that you would just implant that thought in their heart and mind right now. That there's something between you and somebody else, you'd implant that on their heart and mind right now. If they have not been reading your word this week, that you would implant that thought in their heart and mind right now. God, we want to be right before you today. We ask this in the name of your Spirit, in your name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.